The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. We do that every week by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. This week, we learn from a Brazilian-born creative titan, Rafa Donato. Rafa Donato, currently serving as Chief Creative Officer at David Miami, embarked on his professional journey in London in 2004. Subsequently, in 2008, he became a member of Ogilvy Brazil. Then in 2016, he joined forces with David Sao Paulo, assuming the role of Creative VP. In this episode, he teaches us about David, the Miami advertising scene, how great ideas can come from any level of advertiser, his processes, and how you can be crazy successful in this fun field. And throughout his tenure at David Miami, Donato has garnered numerous commendations, contributing to both the agency's and his clients' creative prominence. Donato's exceptional achievements reflected in both accolades and the acquisition of new clients have earned him recognition as one of the most creative individuals of the year. Esteemed advertising channels in Brazil conducted surveys, gathering votes from journalists, advertisers, and industry professionals, and claimed him as one of the best. He's worked on clients such as Burger King, Coca-Cola, Faber-Castell, Mondelez, and Danone. They've entrusted their brands to the expertise of David Miami and its talented team. And guess what? Rafa is always looking for talent. If you want to break into David Miami, DM us your portfolio at Breaking and Entering Pod on our Instagram, and I'll take a look and send it over to him. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast, and as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right, Rafa Donato, welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. How the heck are you doing today?
Surviving.
You're bouncing on your bouncy ball chair for the listeners out here. He's bouncing and he's wearing a nice Hawaiian. You got a fish on your shirt.
This is my Wednesday attire. Yes, I have a wide assortment of flowers, shirts, Hawaiian shirts.
So we know from context there that you're probably not in New York or Chicago.
No,
wearing nice Hawaiian shirts.
That's right. Although when I do go to New York for meetings, I still wear them. I'm in Miami right now. And it doesn't get as much attention here as I do in New York. But yeah.
And you're not going to change who you are just because you're traveling. You're going to keep your style, what makes you.
That's wherever right. Wherever you go. That's right. Exactly. But the shirts were before I came to Miami. I was living in Sao Paulo before. And I thought I stood out there, but here again, got here and it's just another guy in a Hawaiian shirt.
And we'll get into all that background. We know you are the Chief Creative Officer at David over in Miami. Great shop. I've been following along. You know, it was one of those shops that I've always wanted to work for when I was a student and still want to work for one day. So I'm glad we're connected. And in your about section on your LinkedIn says you're a Brazilian born creative, which we know Brazil brings a powerhouse of creativity in this industry. What's going on over in Brazil? How does that work over there? Advertising everywhere?
I know. I guess if you don't play soccer, you go into advertising. That's kind of what happens, I guess. But yeah, we're born marketers. We're born like knowing how to make a lot with not much money and just, you know, finding a way to make things happen.
Scrappy.
Yeah. And with an eye for opportunity. And I think especially when we come to markets like the US and Europe, you know, we get the chance to work with some amazing people, you just pounce on it and mm-hmm. go above and beyond. And I think that's what you see. And you're seeing, I'm part of that wave of that. Creatives.
Love it. Tell me about where you're at today. We'll get into your story. We'll get into your break-in. We'll get into your advice this episode. Easy stuff you can do in your sleep. But I want to know high level where you're at, your role, and tell me about David. What makes it different? What's going on over in Miami today?
Yeah, no, first I'm really fortunate to be where I am with an amazing group of people that a lot of them I worked with for 15 years already. So it's been the 15 years with you know, some of the partners and heads and the people who are the David family across like three continents now. I am the chief creative officer here in Miami. I've been in this role for 2 years now, a little over 2 years. I don't know. It was in the pandemic, so it's all a bit of a blur.
It's a blur.
Yeah. Before that, I was leading the creative at the São Paulo agency for 5 years. And then before that was at Ogilvy, and I actually saw like David being born inside of Ogilvy. So really like a veteran of the David family, and it's been great. We were doing amazing things in Brazil. And so we got to, you know, so the opportunity came to come here to the States and lead the agency here. So here I am.
Love it. Love it. What's the difference between Ogilvy and David?
Well, I think Ogilvy is a huge network of, you know, I guess like so many agencies and thousands of people. And it's like a big, ship, like a big vessel.
And what holding company is Ogilvy a part of again?
We're part of WPP.
So yeah, you got the big, I think that's the biggest one.
That's
the biggest holding company. And you got Ogilvy under that, which is a huge agency network.
Yes.
And then within that, we're talking David. So yes. How does David fit in that structure?
Well, David was, like I said, was born at Ogilvy, São Paulo. You know, that was like the embryo there that you know, and it was born out of an opportunity to work with Burger King and other clients, and that wanted a more nimble and intimate agency with creativity at the core. Not that Ogilvy doesn't have that, but I think within Ogilvy and WPP, we are intentionally smaller, faster, more adaptable to projects. And I think clients really responded to that. So what started as one agency in São Paulo and then Buenos Aires and quickly became an agency here in Miami with Burger King opportunity, and then expanded to Madrid also through Burger King and other clients. It's always been like where, you know, where are the great clients and where is the demand? And we've gone and opened shop in some of these markets. And then lately, I think a year and a half, 2 years ago in Colombia, in Bogota. And then most recently in New York. Almost as like, you know, consolidating our presence here in the States.
Gotcha.
So, but again, we are... In total, we're just like 300 people worldwide.
So to me, it was sounding like you're growing, like you had thousands of people there, but you're still a nimble shop. It's probably to combat these smaller independent shops, right? That are popping up constantly, that are rising popularity. We see them get a lot of press and coverage. This is like a response to that, right? This David's that response. And
exactly. No, and exactly. Those. It's almost like we have the benefit of being small, and we want to keep small because clients love that intimacy that we offer. And, you know, they know that it's going to be the top creatives and the top people in the agency working on their projects.
Yep.
You can get that with big agencies. You know, they can't afford to have that much intimacy and direct contact. But at the same time, we are backed up by Ogilvy and WPP, and we have access to all the tools. There are many projects which we collaborate with Ogilvy and other WPP agencies, which will, you know, they'll plug us into a project if they need a boost of creativity.
Yeah,
we'll come in with strategy as well. In Brazil, for instance, our technology innovation department has grown. We have a content studio. It also offers us, like, we're able to grow where we need to grow, where there's the demand. But still, you know, compared to the big shops, we're relatively small. We are pitted against some of the smaller shops, right? So we'll go against you know, some of the smaller ones, depending on the market.
Yeah, we're not going to mention them on this podcast. It's about David.
We might not plug them here.
No, we're not plugging
competitors here. We're all friends, and and you know, we're on par with the best shops because the talent is flowing right from there, from them to us, and vice versa. And you know, we're all friends, so we know each other. And you know, even some of the newer agencies, you'll look at the people who are there. A lot of them went through David to and are now you know, leading these other agencies.
Right.
Yeah.
I hear you. So tell me about David today. What are you guys working with? Who are your clients? What's some cool work that you can talk about?
Yeah. No, we were super proud, obviously, of the history we've had with Burger King. I mean, that goes, I think it's that kind of story of the agency and client that has just this history of doing just amazing work. And if you look at some of the best work, and I know that I was listening to you the other day, and you mentioned Moldy Whopper, for instance.
Oh, yeah.
That's one that, an idea that originated.
Did you make that?
In Sao Paulo. I was at the agency at the time. Yeah. That was two creatives who were there in Sao Paulo. They went to Miami. That incredible idea took 3 years to make. So you can see.
To make or to sell?
To sell, it wasn't that hard. Hmm. We had an amazing marketer called Fernando Machado at the time.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm sure you've heard about him.
I want to get him on this pod if you can connect me.
Sure. He could be easily be creative director anywhere.
But where is he? He's at Notco right now.
He's at Notco right now. Yes. And, he could tell a great idea, right away. It actually took so long because the product itself wouldn't, you know, it took a while to develop actually a product free of artificial preservatives.
Right.
We had the idea before. It was a bit too much of an overpromise when at the inception of the idea. And of course, there were many partnerships and that happened to make this project happen. It was, you know, of course, Pancho Cassis, our partner, joined and took that on and again made that happen. It was really the force behind it to make it happen.
Won like every award, right? Every creative award.
Yeah, it did. It's like the gift that keeps on giving.
Did it win a Grand Prix at Cannes?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Congrats.
A few. But that was a while ago. Cool. But that just shows, I think it's emblematic of the type of relationship we have at Burger King. There are dozens of different
pieces. Blank Whopper, wasn't that another one you guys?
Blank Whopper was us in Sao Paulo, yes. Thanks for mentioning that. That was a dear project of ours. Didn't get any.
Explain that one for everybody.
Well,
because we should know Moldy Whopper.
Here's the context. In Brazil, you have to vote, right? That's it's mandatory. People, so if you don't like a candidate, or if you're, you know, which is a lot of the times, and it was certainly the case in 2016 2018, I wouldn't say. You vote blank. You can vote blank. You can basically, which is basically you throw your vote away. So people do it in protest. What they don't realize is what it's like, someone, then you're basically giving your power of decision to somebody else. So what we did was we made a blank Whopper. We went to people out on the streets and offered them a Whopper, you know, chosen by somebody else. And of course you can pick and choose whatever you want to the Whopper to be, you know, the build. You can have it with patty, without cheese or whatever. So we just had people, we hit them with the worst Whoppers we could think of, just bread and onion and mayo basically. And they, you know, it was kind of a film stunt. They took a bite of the Whopper and they hated it, obviously. And then inside the wrapper, it was like, this is a Whopper chosen by somebody else. And when you don't choose, you get stuck with someone else's choice.
Right.
You know, make sure you. So it was really nice because we did it with real people. I was there like pulling people from the street, and very much a tense moment. A lot of similarities with the States in terms of candidates and how people like get worked up about it.
Oh yeah.
Should we do it? Should we not do it? But more than anything, congrats to the client, Burger King, head of marketing at the time, Ariel Grunraut. He's behind a lot of the amazing work coming from Brazil. And they just said, let's run it. And we ran it like in the prime time. We ran a commercial that talked politics. And one of the first things you learn when you're going up and you're learning advertising is like, don't talk politics, don't talk religion, you know, keep away from. Most marketers still live by that, and it's very hard to be political, but certainly I think it was great because we found a way to be political without taking sides also,
right?
Which is a tricky thing to do, because actually both sides, right and left, used our ad as saying, see, you should go out and vote. So we had like unanimous support for the message. So we're really proud of that. I know couple people who'll be happy you mentioned that, because we all went to Cannes thinking we'd get like some awards for it. It didn't work out as we did, but we're proud of it. A lot of the work we did in Brazil in the years I was there, had we done it in the, like, let's say an Anglo-Saxon stage, US or UK, you would have really gotten a lot of attention. We did in our market, but I think that's one of the challenges, and it's one of the things that really drove me to come here to the States to get on this big stage. And because anything you do here, what I love is that it gets instantly shared, and you know, you have talk show hosts talking about your idea, and people are actually willing to talk about advertising and different brands. It's actually conversation. It becomes culture.
Good ads. So that's good ads too. Yeah.
Oh, bad ads too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the jingles and the bad ads that stick in your head after.
Now, the jingles. there's a couple jingles that I know of right now that I can't stop hearing.
Yeah.
So who are you guys working? So thanks for the context and some of that great work. Who are you guys working with now? Like what's now?
Well, we work with, you know, we still work with Burger King globally. Our big clients here in Miami are Danone. So we work with Activia and Actimel globally. We have TD Bank.
Nice.
Great client. We have Sour Patch Kids.
Hey!
And Halls.
Yeah.
We're two Mondelez brands. Yeah, we love Sour Patch Kids. It's great.
What was the old slogan they used to say first?
Sour Sweet Gone.
Sour Sweet Gone.
First we still sour, do that.
Then they're sweet. Then they're gone.
That's right. That's it. Gotcha. That's it. See?
I got
advertising. You know, we're not turning that away. So,
Yeah. It's not broke.
We have
the privilege with
these brands, so it's really nice. And then we obviously work with Coca-Cola. We also have another client, Pennington Lawn and Garden, which is super interesting.
What are they about?
It's like garden and lawn, and it's the, you know, it's a huge brand. They're at Home
Depot. How do you make ads for that?
They make ads. I mean, we just did something really nice. We're doing an initiative. It's called Flip the Turf. And we just ran an ad. Actually, we didn't run an ad during the draft, the NFL draft, because it was rejected.
Who rejected it?
The networks.
Why?
Because it was about actually getting all NFL teams to have real grass on the field.
I think that's better too. Like, they like real grass.
You know, the players are all for it. Half of the teams still use artificial turf. And so Pennington has been fighting to, it's called Flip the Turf. And they've been literally trying to get all NFL teams to you know, all the way down to like college, and, you know, they're really supportive of sports, but specifically at the NFL, there's an opportunity here to really get
turf injuries.
Yeah, statistically, I mean, obviously, football is a dangerous sport. Lots of injuries unrelated to the pitch, but statistically, artificial turf, there's a few more what we call like non-impact injuries. So we had Von Miller, who is kind of a veteran player, kind of speak out against it. We had a whole ad shot. It was beautiful, and it was kind of rejected. But then we actually made that the whole...
case play. Study. Yeah, you capture that.
Here's the ad that I want you to see.
Yeah, and you can work with it.
Which was really a really cool pivot. And again, a client, you know, they were brave enough to say, you know, let's do it. Let's say that it was rejected. We wanted to print the email that they sent back to us, redacted, but like, then we don't have to go that far. But so it's interesting. Like, I never thought I'd be working on grass and garden.
But you made it interesting.
Which is our job. And it's something, when you think about it, it's like, I don't know, you're in a big city. I mean, here where I live, it's all, yeah, it's huge. People's gardens and backyards. I mean, it's huge. So it's huge business. And
it's nice weather year round where you can have gardens and it nice is lawns. Nice.
Yeah. The seasons here, it's like hot and extremely hot, basically.
I want to ask you, I'm curious, in your career or as a CCO, has there ever been a time where an entry level person, somebody more junior, just came up with a really good idea you can recall that may have sold?
What?
Like, is there one that like really sticks out to you?
I mean, entry level junior. I mean, everybody in the creative department here pitches ideas. So,
That's flat there then.
Yeah.
Structure. The best idea should work, right?
Well, if you think about it, first, we're 20 people in the creative department here, David, the other agencies, the other Davids as well. Like, we'll vary between 20, 30, 40, maybe, but, we create an environment that's like open for anybody to pitch any idea.
I love that.
So, you know, I think some of the most ideas we have are coming from our junior mid-level teams, basically. I'm trying to think of a specific idea that went to air lately. It's just, a lot of our Sour Patch Kids work. It's coming from you know, our junior teams or our Gen Zers, you know,
who they're targeting? Are they targeting like Gen Zers to eat Sour Patch Kids? So that makes sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Gotcha. I like that it's a flat level. That makes a lot of sense. What Miami advertising culture scene, what makes it different from New York, Chicago, LA?
Miami advertising.
Yeah.
I guess the commute, people come in from from a ways away. You know, I think the vibe here is just warmer. Not literally, but also like with just you get that Latino vibe, you know, I think more than anywhere else. It's a city that doesn't really feel like the States. So you're getting definitely like you're speaking several languages. You will hear several languages, you know, at least Spanish and English all the time. When you're at the agency. And I think what we get here as well is, again, a lot of talent coming from overseas. I think Miami is definitely a destination for Brazilians and all of Latin America. We also get Europeans, you know, English people for sure, like coming in, they want to be here. So it is a bit of a challenge getting talent to come from New York and Chicago and other places to live here in Miami sometimes. I think that the challenges that we have here are definitely in terms of if we find somebody that's amazing, but they're living in New York or LA, there is a bit of a prejudice when it comes to Miami, especially for Americans. So think of Florida as a place their grandparents retire, but actually.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the feeling I get, at least. And I get, we get a lot of, we're able to talk to a lot of talent, but sometimes it'll come down to like, yeah, you know, I don't know about moving to Miami. And so I think the people who are here really want to be here. So
and they move there. They made the jump. The jump from Chicago to Miami in our winters doesn't sound that terrible.
No, right? I know. I've tried that pitch. It's worked a couple of times. So yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Did you get from any? Got some people from Chicago. That's a good.
I did. Yeah, we have a couple. I think Alejandro Huli. I don't know if you know. He was there.
Yeah,
Chicago.
I've heard of that name. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's here with us.
Love it. Got it. So how'd you break into advertising?
Just to go back to your previous question, you made me think like, what's the idea that we saw from the interns? Well, it wasn't here in Miami. It was an idea from Madrid. Okay. We all got to pitch in. It was for Dove. And it was around the Oscars. I don't know if you saw this, there was a TikTok filter going around that was just scary how it made women look just more beautiful. It was called the glamour filter, and it worked perfectly, like scary. And so Dove briefed us on, you know, what are we gonna do about it? You know, how do we fight this, because it's obviously giving you
setting unreal standards and people are getting addicted to it.
Standards. And because it worked so well, right? That was right. I think it was like a very young team from Madrid, from our Madrid office that came up with the idea to turn your back on it. And they just,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. So
I remember that. Turn your back, right? So what were they doing because of that? What was the reaction to that?
Well, basically the filter triggers by reading your face. So we had, you know, it was basically just take, you know, do a post with your back turned. Don't give the filter your face, which is the simplest, right? The simplest idea, yet so hard to get to that simplicity. So
did they have to brief that through you? Did they have to come up through you to approve that? Or did...
Well, funny enough, we got briefed by the global creative director for Dove.
Wow.
It's at Ogilvy London.
Okay.
His name is Dan Fisher. So shout out to Dan Fisher. He's amazing.
Shout out. I'm on the podcast.
Yes. And he briefed basically all of David's agencies and you know, if the Ogilvy shops as well. So guys, let's turn it around. We got basically 2 days to do this.
Let's do it.
It was amazing. It was a true like collaboration, borderless creativity, as they like to call it, between Ogilvy and David. And again, the David Mitre team is amazing, led by Salo Rocha, who's the CCO there. Can also point him to your podcast. He's amazing, leading. And they've actually had an amazing week. I don't know if you saw the IKEA work for Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Proudly second best, which is lovely work showing that, you know, sell, it was like really delicate ads, like showing, you know, like a baby chair, the price on it, but then the camera reveals like the baby's actually, you know, the toddler's actually sitting on his dad's lap eating. And it, the line was proudly second best.
Beautiful.
And it's just, again, just a really nice idea. There were some print ads. And so that was the, like last week. And then a couple of days, like I think yesterday, we launched Confusing Times 3, which is the Burger King campaign. This time around with kids questioning, you know, why are we living such confusing times? And it's to sell the plant-based menu for kids. So it's like year three of that campaign, again, with a lot of humor, a lot of insight, and they just got a fantastic team there. Also, David Kruger is in that team. The famous South African copywriter. So he's a heavy hitter there in the one numerous Grand Prix in radio. So now he's also writing ads for funny ads for Burger King and other clients.
So, I love it. You helped to connect me with all these people.
Yeah.
Well, appreciate that. There's no doubt that you are all a creative powerhouse in this industry with numerous awards to show for it. So, and I'm sure more to come as can. You probably got all your submissions in for Cannes. I won't even ask you how many you submitted. We'll keep that confidential, but I'm sure you'll get some hardware.
Let me just say this. We are so relieved we have submitted stuff. It's just
an overwhelming
feeling of, can't believe it's done. You know,
thank it's goodness. Just a lot of work.
Oh, man. My God. So much work to. And then crazy. Every week we'd get like another extension and we're like,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I
ran the awards for Chicago, and
yes,
it's a lot. I'm just one office here, and it's a good amount. So it's crazy how that's so important, and we need it. It's a necessary evil, I guess. You know, it helps further our careers, helps get new business. It's necessary, even though they're tough to do.
Yeah, you said it. It's a necessary evil, but it pushes us. It makes us push the work. And what it does, it's a great, and the way David operates, I mean, that's why I'm mentioning other offices so much, because we really, and this, I think the pandemic just made it that much more evident that we meet weekly, all the CCOs, and I say all, I mean like 10 of us, or, you know, creative directors, to review work from all six offices. And we're, constantly
creative committee,
each other's work and getting feedback and helping each other out and really saying, look, we've got this idea. What do you guys think about it? And Punch will come and like brief, you know, three different offices on like, oh, we got this great opportunity here. Who wants to take it? You know, so it really is a one team mentality. And because we're small and because we have this great relationship, it really works. So when it comes to Cannes, we also share the burden and the sorrow, and like we're tough on each other, and we have a, you know, yeah, I don't even know how many entries, but it was a lot. It's quite a big body of work that we've submitted to the awards, but also reflection on the type of work we want to do. And it's the best new business tool that we have, really.
Mm-hmm.
and to attract new talent as well.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. And thank you for providing the providing insight from the higher level about that and why that's important. So I want to transition now into the biggest pieces of advice from your break-in and your career. So our listeners who want to eventually break into advertising one day and be a CCO in many years from now, what advice do you have for them? Whether that's, you know, they're not born, maybe they're not born in Brazil, but, and they're not born scrappy and like yourself. What can you say to our listeners out there on how to be here?
Well, let me make a couple of disclaimers. One, you know, what I say in my advice, and it's my advice, and my advice might be different from other people. And I think it's, I know they probably heard that too, but it's
actually not a lot of people clarify that. So you're like, after 165 of these interviews, that might be one of the first times I've heard that.
There is no science to how I got where I got. So it kind of worked for me, kind of, and I'm still, every day I wake up and I go and they say, oh, a CCO, I wake up and I still have the same challenges. It's the same blank page, trying to reinvent the wheel for our clients, and harder than ever because clients, you know, have less money and less time than, you know, I guess 10, 20 years ago. So actually my first advice would be, really? You want to get into this?
Why? Yeah.
Really? Really? Ask yourself, because if you think you're an artist and you think you're, you know, advertising is a great way to get your art out, forget it. If you think you are a great writer and you want to do like sitcoms or movies, and or if you think you're a great photographer, but you want to, don't compromise by going into advertising. That's what I would say, because it's going to be super frustrating. It already is the most frustrating job. It's the best and most frustrating job out there.
Right.
90%, 95% of what we do goes in the drawer, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't see the light of day. Right. So, and that's at the top level. That's at David, an amazing agency with amazing clients doing great work. It's still very frustrating. So you have to know that that's what you want to do. You don't necessarily have to be like, you know, I want to be a copywriter or director. It's just know that you want to come in, and we are selling brands. We are making brands famous. We are, you know, obviously you get to work with the most amazing people. You get paid to think of great ideas, but first thing I would say is just make sure you want to do this, because it will, you know, you'll have the best of you. You'll have days where you're going to be doubting yourself. Still have them. So that's the first piece of advice, I guess.
Love it.
Yeah. What else?
Yeah. What else?
I think, you know, I am a big believer in, if you're going into the industry, I do think ad school is a great way to get in.
I see some Miami ad school professor experience. Yeah,
that is correct. I wouldn't be where I am today.
And you went to USC too.
I did. So
wow. You guys just got Bronny.
Is that a football player?
LeBron. No, LeBron James' son for basketball.
See? Oh, yes. He's been now for a little bit. And yes, I am a Laker fan. So
yeah,
sorry about the
loss,
the little loss there. But yes, I'm a Laker fan living in Miami. Obviously, my kids are Heat fans. We've been a few games, but it's shaping up to be a nice season finale. Let's see.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. But anyways, I digress. Yeah, because I went to school to USC. I did my communications degree, and I did, you know, I had advertising classes and everything. But out of school, I did not have a book good enough to work, to be hired at an agency.
It's still the same story, right? A lot of these people go through the same thing. They go get a great education, a great university, and they come out without a book.
Well, I had a book. It was an awful book. It was, I thought it was great, but it was awful. And I took it around. I remember flying to New York, to Ogilvy, actually.
Full circle.
And, at the time, and I date myself, it was actually a book.
Printed. Yeah.
Printed. And I think the HR recruiter there kind of laughed at me a little bit and like looked like skimmed through it and kind of laughed and then pointed. I will never forget this, at the floor with a pile of books.
It was nice.
Like,
that's cold. I love it.
Pile of books. Like, that's what you're up against. Yeah. And he's like, you better go back to school.
That's so awesome. They don't do that nowadays. Nowadays it's virtual. They just don't respond. Back then you had to get it in front of somebody for the most part, right?
Yes. Yes.
You had, and you would flip through it in front of you. Now they can just delete it.
You have to stalk people. And I mean, it's fun. I think it builds character. You still have to stalk people.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I do recommend ad school. Miami Ad School was amazing, not just for the classes, but the people I met, the people I went to school with. I mean,
networking, professors Eric, get you jobs, Bellman, they get you internships.
Scott Bell from Droga. I mean, some of the guys, you know, that I went to school with, I mean, they're amazing, you know. And also this ad school, Miami Ad School has the great overseas program. So I got to go to London, where that's really where I had my my education in advertising, because it was hands down, like, when I started, because we were to go to different agencies, and there's a real spirit there of mentorship with like some with the teams at the agencies, and I was really lucky to get mentored by two amazing creatives, Chris Volvo and John Allison, who are like went to do like all the Channel 4 stuff, the Paralympics. I mean, they were amazing. And my partner and I, like, they took us on. And so it was really like a real school of like concepting and just throwing your ideas away and building this discipline of like coming back for more and like doing 100 ideas to get one good one and going to different agencies, lugging the book around. And that was all through Miami Ad School. So that was my experience. I know a lot of people have different experiences at Miami Ad School and other ad schools, but it gives you at least, and I know that, I think across the board, it gives you the opportunity to make mistakes.
Right.
And in your book and in your work, it should be in that. That's such a great thing for you to be able to go completely wrong and make huge mistakes. I think that's how you learn, because I really think like good ideas are kind of accidental. Amazing, you know, genius ideas are accidents, but you have the discipline to keep thinking and keep digging, and you know, your brain will join things that you wouldn't really join, and all of a sudden you have something amazing. So ad school kind of allows you to do that and work with different people. I mean, really, and you don't
get amazing.
You don't have that client like bugging you to do stuff. And also that it gives you like an instant access to internships. A lot of the ad schools do that. So,
yeah.
I mean, internships. And once you get an internship, I guess that's another advice I would have, is like, make yourself noticed, make it your home. Make sure that the creative director, everybody knows that you're there. Hopefully by the work that you're doing, but also just by, you know, being there and being loud sometimes, and, you know, doing, you know, going out for drinks with everybody, and just picking everybody's brain and trying to get in on all the briefs.
Yeah. And make your presence known. Yeah, be friendly, show up, volunteer, be a good person. There's sometimes interns are shy, and I get it.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. Don't be shy. If you're an intern and you're shy, have the work get everybody's attention.
Yeah.
Make sure, like, somehow.
We're in the business of getting things noticed, and you should be able to get yourself noticed.
That's right.
Good at this business.
You're the first brand that you have to sell. It's you.
I love it.
It's smart. You. Your book is a whole ad for you, basically. Right. And I mean, that's the first place I go to when I'm looking at portfolios is the about section.
Everybody does. Me too.
The first place I'm going is like, what's your story? What got you in the business? You know, I was looking at someone's book the other day, like recent graduates, and this girl had like done was a real estate agent for years. It was like, I gave that up during the pandemic. I went back to school. This is my passion. I'm like, yes,
Now we're talking,
you know,
somebody made a jump. Interesting.
Yeah. So we're looking at people to come in and contribute with their experience, you know. The work will come. Obviously, the work should be there already, you know, but it's something that you can evolve. A lot of it is luck anyways. So, you know, make sure that you get yourself, go out on a limb. You know, I recently hired an intern, like, full time. It was amazing, you know, like making videos in the agency, you know, post, you know, putting googly eyes everywhere, you know, just silly shit, but you're like, okay, I like this.
Yeah. It's good for everybody.
Yeah. I love it. You know who I'm talking about, Ander.
Nice. Love it. All right, Rafa, how can people reach out to you if they have any other questions? They want to learn more from you.
LinkedIn is okay. I mean, certainly that's how you reached out to me. So I do go on LinkedIn a lot.
They'll have the listeners leave a note, say they listen to your podcast and some fun fact.
Yes. Also, I work with two other guys, Jason Wolski, also ex-Havas, if I'm not mistaken, and like yourself, and Alejandro Huli, both are very accessible. So also these are two are these at David. You can reach out to them because I do get a lot of
you're busy
portfolio, and don't take it the wrong way. I mean, it's really.
And listen, if the listeners are out here and they're struggling to get to you, talk to me first. I'll screen the portfolio and I'll work with them and see how we can get you connected.
That's right. Again, we're looking we're always looking for young talent.
Yep.
Especially people who are willing to move to Miami. Like I said, it did come as a surprise to me when I moved here from Brazil, because Brazilians, all we want to do is go to Disney, you know.
Not really.
Miami, and it's great, and how come nobody would want to live in this amazing city? But I do appreciate, like, you know, a lot of people who are in New York or in Chicago, West Coast, and you know, where else. And more than ever, you know, I think pandemic really taught us that life comes first. I do believe that, and I think, you know, it's totally understandable to say, you know, I'm happy where I am, or my family, or my boyfriend, my wife, or my kids, whatever it is that keeps you in a place, that's totally understandable. So we know, but at the same time, it's, we love the culture at David. Like I said, it's a small group, we're an intimate group, and we, it's just that amazing experience to be together. And we make it a point of, you know, coming into the shop and learning from each other. So that's a big part of it.
I love it. Sounds good to me. I'm sure it'll sound good to some of our listeners too. So that's all I got for you, Rafa. This is great. Super, super informational, super helpful, super interesting. So thank you again for coming on Breaking and Entering.
Gino, thank you so much. I hope I gave a shout out to everybody.
There's more, I'm sure.
Super grateful. Pancho, Musa, our partners, super grateful for the opportunity to be here in the States. Thanks for reaching out. You said people would know me, but I still got a feeling I'm still breaking and entering here in the States. you know, we're open for business. If there are any clients wanting to do some creative work. And then shout out to all the David Miami team. That I made it all the way through the end of the podcast. So amazing. Nice. I'll buy you guys a beer.
Heck yeah.
And yeah, thank you. Thank you, Gina.
Nice.
Thank
work.
You guys. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests and better break-ins if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn, and they want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Buchan Jung, our creative director. Can't do without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz. They're a PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest. Thank you so